Jaya Radha Madhava Kundavihari. Jaya Radha Madhava Kundavihari. Gopi jana ballaba hiri baru dhagute. Gopi jana ballaba hiri baru dhagute. Yashoda nanana braja chana nanjana. Yashoda nanana braja chana nanjana. Jamuna tirabanachare. Yamuna te rabana chagati. Jai ho radha madhuva kunjabi hari. Jai ho radha madhuva Kunyabihari. Gopi nana vallabha yidi varu dhauti. Gopi nana vallabha yidi varu dhauti. Yidi varu dhauti yasoda nandana braja jana ranjana. Yasoda nandana braja jana ranjana. Jamuna te rabana chante. Yamuna te rabana chante. Jai hu radha madhuva kunjabi hari. Jaya Radha Madhuva Kundabihari. Jai Om Vishnupad Paramahansa Paramahacharya Author Tata Siddhashi Shimad. His Divine Grace Abhaya Chadanarabhata Vananda Goswami Maharaj Srila Prabhupada Ki Jai. ISKCON Founder Acharya Srila Prabhupada Ki Jai. Ananda Goti Vaishnav Vrinda Ki Jai. Namacharya Srila Huidas Thakur Ki Jai. Prince Kaho Sri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Shidwaita Garadha. Sivasati Gaur Bhakta Vrinda Ki Jai. Shri Shri Radha Krishna Gopi Gopinath Shyama Kunda Radha Kunda Giri Govardhan Ki Jai. Vrindavanam Ki Jai. Maturanam Ki Jai. Jagannatha Swami Ki Jai. Yamunamai Ki Jai. Srimati Dalasi Devi Ki Jai. Samaveda Bhakta Vrinda Ki Jai. Gaur Premananda Hari 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 Bo. All glories, the assembled devotees. All glories, the assembled devotees. All glories, the assembled devotees. All glories to Shri Guru and Gauranga Srila Prabhupada Ki Jai. So we are reading from Srimad Bhagavatam, 10th canto, 20th chapter, text 49. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Vaning Muni Nirpa Snata Nirgam Yartan Prapedivre Varsha Vruda Yutha Siddha Swa Pindan Kala Agate Vanin Munin Ripasnata Nirgam Yar Tan Prapedire Avasha Rutha Yutha Siddha Swapindan Kalahagate Varsha Rudayata Siddha. Whoops, I'm sorry. This went. No. This went back to the other page. So, Vanin Munin Ripasnata Nirgam Yartan Prapedire Varsha Rudayata Siddha. Swapindan Kalagate Vanin Munin Ripasnata Nirgam Yaratan Prapedire Vasharuda Yata Siddha Swapindan Kalahagate. Okay. Right. Vanik, the merchants. Muni, renunciant sages. Nripa, kings. Snata, and Brahmachari students. Nirgamya, going out. Artan, their desired objects. Prapedite, obtained. Varsha, by the rain. Rudaha, checked. Yata, as. Siddaha, perfected persons. Swapindan, the forms they aspire for. Kale, when the time. Agate, has come. Translation, the merchants, sages, kings, and brahmachari, students kept in by the rain, were at last free to go out and attain their desired objects, just as those who achieve perfection in this life can, when the proper time comes, leave the material body and attain their respective forms. You repeat? The merchants, sages, kings, and brahmachari students kept in by the rain were at last free to go out and attain their desired objects. Just as those who achieve perfection in this life can, when the proper time comes, leave the material body and attain their respective forms. So, purport by the servants of His Divine Grace, Srila Prabhupada. Srila Prabhupada comments, in Vrindavan, the autumn season was very beautiful then because of the presence of the Supreme Personality of Godhead, Krishna, and Balaram. The mercantile community, the royal order, and the great sages were free to move to achieve their desired benedictions. Similarly, the transcendentalists, when freed from the encagement of the material body, also achieved their desired goal. During the rainy season, the mercantile community cannot move from one place to another, and so do not get their desired profit. Nor can the royal order go from one place to another to collect taxes from the people. As for saintly persons who must travel to preach transcendental knowledge, they are also restricted by the rainy season. But during the autumn, all of them leave their confines. In the case of the transcendentalist, be he a jnani, a yogi, or a devotee, because of the material body, he cannot actually enjoy spiritual achievement. But as soon as he gives up the body, or after death, the jnani merges into the spiritual functions of the Supreme Lord, the yogi transfers himself to the higher, to various higher planets, and the devotee goes to the planet of the Supreme Lord, Goloka Vrindavan, or the Vaikunthas, and thus enjoys his eternal spiritual life. And actually, I'll read the commentary by the Acharyas. Hold on a second. So, Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur states, the merchants, sages, kings, and students who were confined to their rooms by the rain went out of their rooms when the rain stopped, Varsho Duda, and attained respectively their goals, Artan, money, independence, power, and knowledge. Just as the perfected beings, when the lifespan is finished, at the time of death, Kale, attain the body of an associate pinned under the Lord, Swa. Jiva Goswami states, the word Varsha can also mean time or lifespan. The perfected beings checked by limited years to live achieve their goals. The householders become free to go on pilgrimage. The devotees Siddha attain their bodies as associates of the Lord. Sanatan Goswami states, the Jivan Mukta Siddha, obstructed by Advaita Gyan, which is like the rain covering the sun of Bhakti Varshuddha, achieve their spiritual bodies, or controlled by the bliss of continuous devotee association, which is like a shower of rain, the devotees attain spiritual bodies of eternity, knowledge, and bliss at the appropriate time by the Lord's mercy or on attaining Vaikuntha. Thus ends the purports of the humble servants of His Divine Grace, A.C. Bhaktivinoda Swami, to the 10th canto, 20th chapter of the Srimad Bhagavatam, entitled The Rainy Season and Autumn in Vrindavan. Actually, I should recite the verse again. Hold on a second. Back to the verse. All right. Vanim munin ripasnata nirgam yartam prape dihre vasharuda yata siddha swapindan kala agate. So, Om Ganat Timiranda Shah, Gananjana Shalakaya Chakshuran Meditam Yena Tasmai Shri Gurave Namaha. So, what you're hearing described here is the end of what's called the Chaturmasya period. The Chaturmasya period is the 4 months of the rainy season. And, interestingly enough, when you have the Purushottama Mas, it interferes with Chaturmasya. So during the Chaturmas period, obviously it's rainy, especially the transcendentalists have to engage in special austerities. And some of those austerities are like not having any salt or sugar. Of course, in those days there wasn't sugar, but there was honey. You're not supposed to have honey or salt or enjoy the different tastes of food. And some of the austerities are like eating like a duck. In other words, you tie your hands behind your back, you go down once a day, and as soon as you come up, after pushing your face in the prasadam, then you can't eat anymore. Another austerity is not shaving any of your hair. For the ladies, it's not a problem. For the men, it's a big problem. And not cutting your nails for 4 months of the rainy season. Now, the reason for those austerities is because when the sages would remain in one place, there is a danger of getting attached. As we know, Maya has two aspects, of course, many aspects, but two in this particular context. The throwing and the keeping of Aranika and the other one, I forget, the Parpadika or something like that. Anyway, so Avaranika means to cover, and then there's the throwing. So let's give the example of covering. So just like one is engaged in the material world, for example, let's say Indra, who became a pig at one particular point because he was cursed, he made it an offense, he was covered. And he was needed back in the heavenly planets. And what happened is that they sent a message to him, you should go back to the heavenly planets. And he said, no, I can't go back to the heavenly planets because I have all these responsibilities. I have my pig wife, sorry. Not all wives are like that, anyway. And I have my pig children and my cousins. Anyway, I won't get further into that one. So I can't go back. And so it was arranged that all these little piglets and pigs and whatever, and sows, that means female pig, were killed by the farmer, and then Indra decided to go back. So that's the covering, you know, you're really covered. And then throwing means like some devotee is going out in Sankirtan and he happens to see goes by McDonald's or something like that. And he decides to get French fries at McDonald's. We see that. Sometimes we heard about a devotee who had some sort of hepatitis, and he was blaming the temple for his hepatitis, but actually it was he had visited some sandwich place or something like that. So that's the throwing. You know, we see something, we contemplate sense objects, and we get thrown. So anyway, so during that particular time, it's quite dangerous for those who are transcendentalists because you get really attached. I was listening to one class Prabhupada was giving this morning, how someone gets attached to something even though it's so miserable. Prabhupada said he was, when he was very young, he went with his father into the village to buy some things. And one of the servants of his family was living in this house without any roof on it, and the rain was coming down. And Prabhupada's father said to the servant, please come with us to Calcutta, we'll give you a nice place. And, you know, a nice place with a roof and whatever they had at that particular juncture. And the servant said, no, this is home. So it's like that, and we're in the material world, and basically it's raining on us, or even worse, it's on fire as we're chanting every morning, Samsara Dhabana Liloka, that this mature world is like a blazing fire. And we're thinking, no, it's home. This is so nice. I mean, who wants to go back to Godhead? Such a nice place we're living in. Anyway, so that's anyway, that's Maya. That's illusion. So therefore, it's very dangerous to remain in the same place one time. Actually, it's safer in one sense because when you have the rainy season and you don't have the modern amenities that you can travel and everything like that, you won't be able to spread all these pandemics and viruses and everything like that. If you look at history, pandemics started to occur and epidemics started to occur when? Does anyone know when? Around the mid-1850s, like that, when they started to have all this modern conveniences like trains and everything like that. I mean, there's so many pandemics. I was checking that out the other day, like, about different pandemics. There was the Spanish flu, which killed something like 50 or 80 million. They don't know exact number, 50 to 80 million people. And it was spread all around the world very quickly. There was cholera in India, which spread from India to Thailand to China and everywhere else because of modern convenience. So when you had this lack of modern conveyances, we're not speaking conveniences also, but conveyances, then people would tend to be in the same place. And you may think, oh, that's so primitive. But people are happy. You know, people were happy. They stayed in the same place. They were families were around them, like Prabhupada one time quoted, I forget who he quoted, society, friendship, and love bestowed upon man by God, you know, divinely bestowed upon man by God. I forget who that was, Prabhupada was quoting. But when people have their loved ones around them, then people can be happy. And nowadays, one's loved ones are on the other side of the world. And of course, with the coronavirus, you can't even visit your loved ones. There was this whole thing between Canada and the United States. You know, people have loved ones in Canada and loved ones in the United States, and they meet right at the border, which is actually not like the Mexican border. The Mexican border has a big high fence, or Donald Trump's wall, which they've actually gone under and over, but that's another situation. And they're separated. They're crying like that because they're separated. Anyway, so the purpose of the austerities during Chaturmasya are to keep people from getting attached. And Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu observed this Chaturmasya period by remaining, there's many instances, he remained in one place in Srirangam. And in that particular instance, he gave his association to Venkata Bhatta and Gopal Bhatta, who became Gopal Bhatta Goswami later on. And you have so many stories about this Chaturmasya period. Even in the Bhagavatam, you have the story of Narada Muni getting association with the sages during those 4 months of the rainy season, taking initiation, and ultimately becoming self-realized, at least to the platform of Bhava, and later on Krishna Prema, because of the association of the sages. So anyway, so that's Chaturmasya. But that's not really the main topic of this class. The main topic of this class is what's discussed in this purport. And I wanted to read from Prabhupada's commentary on this, from the Light of the Bhagavat. This is text 46 of the Light of the Bhagavat. The translation is, the merchants, preachers, kings, and students who were confined to home during the 4 months, June, July, August, and September, began to flow out and attain success in life, just as perfected souls attain the required body as soon as they leave the present body. So, Prabhupada's purport here states, the people in general, especially the merchants, kings, and students, are advised not to leave home during the 4 months of the rainy season. These 4 months are known as Chaturmasya, and for everyone there are specific rules for observing this period, partly for the sake of health and partly for spiritual realization, which we talked about. During this period, the merchants cannot do free business. Dedicated souls like sannyasis cannot freely preach the doctrines of the Vedas. I was thinking it's like the coronavirus period. Kings cannot go out to tour their states, and students cannot go to their schools, which are closed. But after the Chaturmasya period, they all get, also during the summer, the schools are closed in India because it's too hot. But after the Chaturmasya period, they all get the freedom to go out and perform their respective duties. And by doing so, they can achieve the results that they desire. In the same way, one cannot achieve the desired results of one's penances until one attains freedom from the present body. And this is what we're going to discuss in a second. There are various ways to practice the various kinds of yoga to attain various results in various spheres of life. It is not that everything is the same. There are varieties of life, varieties of planets, and varieties of success in spiritual realization. And all these can be achieved only when we have finished the Chaturmasya-like period of life. It is a foolish imagination, therefore, that we can go to other planets in the present body. If we want to go to Devaloka, the planets of the demigods, we must achieve the required qualifications. And the same is true if we want to go back to the kingdom of God. If we want to remain in this planet in some better condition of life, that also will depend on the required achievements. In any case, those achievements can be fulfilled just after one leaves the body. I'm going to present a different angle on this. The merchants, preachers, kings, and students form the four important sections of human society. The merchants should see that everyone gets his proper share of food given as a gift by God. The sannyasi preachers should go from door to door to preach the sense of God consciousness, not to build mosques and temples, but to enlighten the people. The king should go out from his home to see with his own eyes how things are going on. Maharaj Pariksit, while on tour, saw a man, Kali, attempting to kill a cow, and so the king at once punished him. So actually, Prabhupada also said, and it's not just Prabhupada, but in the 10th canto of Srimad Bhagavatam, it describes Krishna's life, that Krishna actually would sometimes go out in disguise just to figure out what people were thinking about him. Just like Lord Ram did the same thing. So anyway, and students should gather knowledge whenever or wherever it is available. The combined work of these four sections is meant for the general welfare of society. So I'm going to present a little bit different angle on this because you get the impression here that if you really want to enjoy spiritual life, what do you have to do? What? Leave your body. Isn't that the impression you get from hearing these verses? However, I am going to quote a verse from the Bhakti Rasamrita Sindhu, first chapter, second portion, text 187. And this is a wonderful verse. Iha dasya harir dasya karana manasa gira nikalashvapi avashvasu jivan mukta sa uchite. And the translation is as follows. Anyone who by his action, minds, and words lives only for the transcendental loving service of the Lord is certainly a liberated soul, even though he may appear to be in a condition of material existence. And another quote that Prabhupada gave about this particular verse. Regardless of where he is situated, anyone whose only aim is to serve the Supreme Lord under the direction of the spiritual master is called Jivan Mukta. So, Jivan Mukta means that even in this life, you're liberated. And another point is, you are not bereft of your ability to experience your spiritual form, spiritual body, spiritual pastimes, and spiritual interaction with the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Prabhupada has stated several things. First of all, in the Brihad Bhagavatamrita, we get information how a devotee can be in several places simultaneously, like Narada Muni. He's in different places simultaneously. So a pure devotee doesn't have to die. I mean, in one sense, he leaves the body because, you know, he's absorbed in his spiritual relationship, just like Prabhupada gave the example, and we gave this last night in class, like a coconut, a dried coconut. Someone may remember this example from last night, that you have the center section of the coconut's dry, and it actually becomes detached from the hull of the coconut. Of course, at the same time, if you shake the coconut, it gets a little shaken inside too. But Prabhupada gave that example. So a pure devotee is in a situation like that. that he's detached from this body, and he sees, according to the Bhagavad Gita, while the body is doing all these things, he sees that it's not him who's getting up, evacuating, doing this and that. He sees it's just the machine, and he's absorbed in his spiritual form, simultaneously to apparently being in this material world. And there's some examples of this, and I'd like to cite some stories that illustrate this point. My favorite stories are stories involving this great devotee, Srinivasacharya. Now, Srinivasacharya, many times, there's many stories of him just like losing touch with the external world. One story is that he was one time worshiping Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, offering garlands and everything to Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. And Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, in this meditation, of course, was so pleased with him, he offered him a garland back. And then Srinivasacharya comes out of his deep meditation. Oh, it sounds 2 minutes late for the offering. He comes out of his deep meditation, and he has the garland on him. This didn't come from my deep meditation. This came, it's a two-day-old garland. Anyway, so, and another story. I mean, they show there's actually a connection between the two worlds like that. It's just, it's an amazing thing. Another story about Srinivasacharya, and actually three stories about Srinivasacharya and one of Shyamananda. Another story about Srinivasacharya is that he was observing, actually in his form of Mani Manjari. It's not M-O-N-E-Y. I was thinking this would be nice to be Mani Manjari. Anyway, so in this form of Mani, M-A-N-I, Manjari, he was helping Radha and Krishna in their pastimes of holi. And they were throwing dyes and everything like that and colors. Holi is such an amazing, beautiful ceremony. I've been, actually I've participated in holi in Fiji. I've participated in holi, well, here a little bit, but here it was like really low-key. And then also in India, and one time I was at Varshana, and I got attacked by all the ladies who just put dyes all over my body, but that's another subject matter. And so anyway, he was participating in this ceremony of holi with Radha and Krishna, and he was giving them the colors. And then he came out of his meditation, he was all colored after that. Wow. Amazing. Also, another thing we should understand, that a pure devotee's so-called body, you know, physical body, is spiritual. That's another important point. That if you put, like Prabhupada said, an iron rod into fire, after a while, the iron rod acts like fire. So the pure devotee, that's why pure devotees, they're put into samadhi. Their body is not burnt, unless the Muslims are coming to attack and then you burn the body. You know, that happened in several cases. But even Sripad Ramanujacharya's body in Sri Rangam is preserved. You can actually see the body. You know, he's sitting there. It's also wrapped, of course. And it's very transcendental to see his body. And, of course, I went into the Vatican one time, and it wasn't so transcendental to see everybody's body there. So even the body is spiritual of a pure devotee. I mean, because it's still physical. It still undergoes some physical interactions. But because the devotee is detached from it, like the coconut I mentioned before, it doesn't identify with that body anymore. So he doesn't have to wait till death. You know, I just wanted to deal with that subject matter that people will think after reading this particular purport and the verse that a devotee has to wait until he dies to enjoy spiritual bliss. Yes, he has to give up the body, but you can give up the body without giving up the body. That's the point. You don't have to give up the body at the time of death. You give up your attachment to the body. And you become attached to your, what, spiritual body, the citta deha. And that can happen, even in this lifetime. It can happen in a moment. Okay, third story about Srinivasacharya. This is actually one of my favorite stories. One time he was, as Money Mundry, looking for, I guess it was an anklet or a ring that was lost by Srimati Radharani. And it was in a river or a lake or something like that. And he was looking for it. And this meditation, this samadhi, this absorption and complete detachment from the external body went on for several days. Yeah, several days he was just actually sitting there. And he was married, too. Actually, he had two wives. So there's nothing wrong with being married. You could still be a pure devotee and be married. And actually, his daughters, his sons passed away, but his daughters actually became the acharyas, which is interesting. He had three daughters, and they became acharyas. And there's a whole line of disciplic succession that comes from his daughters. But it's another story. So Srinivasacharya was sitting there several days. His wife was really worried. What's happening with hubby, husband? And she didn't know what to do. I mean, obviously she wasn't going to say, start shaking him and wake up, Prabhu. So she sent for his favorite disciple, Ramchandra Chakravarti, sorry. Ramchandra Chakravarti was also an associate of Narottama Das Thakur. Ramchandra Chakravarti didn't shake his guru because he was a disciple. He sat down next to his guru and he entered into the same meditation as his spiritual master. And together they were looking for whatever Radharani had lost, right? And they both found it and gave it back to Lita and Lita Devi. And they both came out of meditation at the same time and embraced each other. I mean, this is the life of a pure devotee. And, we don't understand what Prabhupada was experiencing. Anyway, one final story. Actually, we have time. Is the story of Shyamananda. Shyamananda originally was not called Shyamananda. Whoop, there are buggies. He was called Duki Krishnadas. Because his brothers had passed away before he was born. And he was the disciple of Hriday Chaitanya. I think this garland has boogies. Anyway, because they're all over me, ants. So he was the disciple of Hriday Chaitanya, who Lord Chaitanya had jumped in the heart of. That's an interesting story. And so he went to Vrindavan. He was sent to Vrindavan by his spiritual master to study under Srila Jiva Goswami. And when he was in Vrindavan studying under Srila Jiva Goswami, he was given the service of cleansing the Kanaka Kunja every day. So he's cleaning and cleaning, cleaning, cleaning. And one day he discovered this anklet left by Srimati Radharani. And it was gold. And he thought, oh my God. And so what did he do? He put it in the ground, he buried it, and the shovel that he used to bury it turned gold also. So here he was. And so next day, and then the day after that, Lalita Devi comes to retrieve this anklet. And she just acts like an ordinary coward girl. She's dressed up an ordinary coward girl. She goes to Shyamananda, have you seen anything, an anklet, my swamini, that means the person who I'm serving, the lady who I'm serving, has lost this. And he says, who are you? And she says, I'm just an ordinary coward girl. And Shyamananda says, no, I know who you are. Show me your real form. And she says, you're not going to be able to bear this or deal with this if you see my real form. And so eventually, she reveals her real form. He's an ecstasy. He gives back the anklet like that. Okay. And she takes him in his spiritual body to see Srimati Radharani. He's given the name, Shyamananda. And he gets this tilak, special tilak, in his spiritual body. I'm just illustrating the point that even Well, apparently a devotee is still alive, hasn't died, hasn't left his body in the sense of death. He can leave his body in a real sense. So there's no need to think, well, let's just work in the time of death. I'm going back to Jesus or whatever. It's, you know, suffer now, enjoy later. No, we say enjoy now and enjoy later and enjoy internally. So anyway, so all right, so he's in that spiritual body. Then his spiritual master gets really upset with him. This is making a short story, long story short. Spiritual master gets really upset with him and challenges him and says, you know, I'm going to write the name Shyamananda and wipe it out. Actually, wipe it out from your chest. And if it's still there, we know you're real. And then he goes into meditation. And then Subal, who happens to be his spiritual master, comes to him, takes him before Lalita. Anyway, it's a whole story there. And then they write it on his chest, Shyamananda. And the spiritual master wipes it off and it appears again. Wipes it off and it appears again. You know, this is happening in this world. And then after that, the spiritual master gets even more upset and beats the poor devotee up. How can you take this name without my permission? You've been reinitiated. Jiva Goswami has committed an offense. And then the spiritual master has a vision while he's sleeping he gets chastised like that for beating up his disciple. And then he apologizes to his disciple. Anyway, so all these things are happening. Anyway, the main point I wanted to make is that all these things are happening in a pure devotee's life. And that's why it's described. No one should try to understand what is happening or the motivation or the mentality of a pure devotee. He's enjoying eternally. So I just wanted to deal with a misunderstanding one would have of this whole verse and purport of thinking one has to leave his body to actually enjoy. You don't. Right now, today, you can enjoy. Just like one devotee said to me yesterday, she experienced some spiritual ecstasy. Right? So that's a coming attraction. Of course, for a pure devotee, the ecstasy is always there, just like we were talking about the bhavas yesterday in Nectar Devotion class. Because the ashtashatvaka bhavas, the bhavas that are there due to the constitutional position of the living entity who is in touch with the Vishuddha Sattva. You know, that's in touch with the Vishuddha Sattva. They're always there in the body and mind and consciousness of a pure devotee. Anyway, so any questions or comments? We got about half a minute left. Yeah.
So these are pure devotees.
Yeah. That's mentioned by Srila Rupa Goswami, that even you can have more of those shadow attachments by associating with pure devotees, by having ecstatic kirtans or hearing ecstatic Bhagavatam classes. You can actually, Rupa Goswami states that even the burnt out or dried up ecstasies, which we call shadow attachments, can be experienced. Just like if you hear, associate with Prabhupada, you serve Prabhupada, and you distribute Prabhupada's books, you preach Krishna consciousness, you bring people to Krishna consciousness, you serve Prabhupada's mission, you can experience that even now. So you don't have to wait. Why wait? Enjoy now.
Jai Radhagul Kananda Ki Jai.
Now bend down, I worship. Amma Bhajami.
Thank you. Thank you.